Good morning and welcome to the East Tennessee Report, a public affairs program of the Journal Broadcast Group. My name is Frank Murphy. Happy Easter, and we welcome today two important people in the Diocese of Knoxville now, Cardinal Justin Regali, former Archbishop of Philadelphia and former Archbishop of St. Louis, and his former protege in St. Louis, Bishop Richard Sticca, the Bishop of the Diocese of Knoxville. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy Easter.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm delighted and honored that you're both here today. Now, I have a quick question about when you address a cardinal, why do they say Justin Cardinal Regali instead of what I just said, which was Cardinal Justin Regali?
Actually, there are two forms. Either's acceptable.
Oh, okay, good. Because I grew up in New York with Terence Cardinal Cook, and I thought that was his name. Because when I was a kid, that was how he was always addressed.
I think it has something to do with how they write their name in Latin, the formula.
Oh, all right.
See, I remember something about Latin.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, first of all, Cardinal Regali, welcome back from Rome and the conclave to elect Pope Francis.
Thank you very much. It was quite an experience, but I'm happy to be back in Knoxville.
And we all have some Francis in our name, because my first name is Francis, your middle name is Francis, your middle name is Frank, Bishop Sticca.
Correct.
So I've done my homework, obviously. And what does the name Francis that the Pope has chosen mean to each of you? Cardinal first.
Well, I took the name Francis as a confirmation name. I didn't have it at baptism. Oh. And the saint that I chose was the same saint that Pope Francis chose, namely St. Francis of Assisi, who was so popular, you know, in the 13th century. And
what was it like back then?
Well,
I'm sorry, that's a joke.
They didn't have radio.
Yeah, that beats my possibility to respond.
So, and then Bishop Sticca, what about to you?
Well, my father's name was Frank. That's why I have the middle name. I have a great love of animals, and of course, St. Francis is the one so closely associated with animals, but also creation and simplicity. Pope Francis, in one of his homilies, spoke about how we are to protect that which is sacred and special, including the environment. So he's like the green pope, mm-hmm. as well as the simplicity of lifestyle. So St. Francis of Assisi is very attractive to this day to so many different people, Catholic and non-Catholic.
That's true. Now, Cardinal Regali, you got Knoxville really on the national news just by virtue of your travel to the conclave. The ABC network program Nightline followed your travels, and we got a chance to see people from Knoxville on the network news. Tell us about that process. How were you chosen to be a correspondent almost or an expert for ABC? And then we'll get into the part about once you got to the conclave.
Well, I think it was ABC that contacted my office uh-huh. to see if I was available. So I was very happy to.
Because there aren't that many American cardinals relative to the rest of the world.
Well, I think they wanted to follow me. And so they came actually to Rome with me. Bishop Sticca arranged a great reception for me in the airport. We had many, many people there that came to see me off. I was surprised. And then ABC was with me.
That was terrific. And it was also impressive to see you interviewed in Rome along with Cardinal Dolan from New York and some of the others.
Yes, we were interviewed on the top floor of the North American College. Mm-hmm. And Cardinal Dolan certainly adds a great deal to any interview.
Now, let me ask you, Bishop Sticca, you obviously are an integral part in Cardinal Regali being here in Knoxville. I mean, normally a diocese of this size doesn't have a cardinal, but when Cardinal Regali retired, you invited him here. What was the story there?
Well, when we were together in St. Louis, he was the archbishop and I was his assistant. As the cardinal progressed in age, I think we started kidding each other about when he retired, he was going to live with me. And so as he got closer and closer to retirement, then I wound up in Knoxville. And so I extended the invitation and he accepted. And so it's
very good friends
for 19 years now, since 1994.
Very trendy for people to retire to Tennessee, by the way.
Well, it suits me fine.
And he knew he was in good hands because, after all, I am a Cardinal fan.
That's right. That's right. Bishop Sticca also traveled to St. Louis for the funeral of your former parishioner, Stan Musial.
Stan Musial, yeah. I was honored to be asked by the family to preach his funeral, as well as his wife, who died a number of months earlier.
Well, he was obviously a good Catholic man, a good Christian man, who had advanced in age. Still kind of sad, though, when a baseball great or an American great is lost.
Well, I think the St. Louis community and the baseball community really mourns. He was just recently on the cover of Sports Illustrated. 50 years this year will be 50 years after he retired.
See, that Sports Illustrated jinx. There it goes again.
There you go.
We're talking with Bishop Richard Sticca of the Diocese of Knoxville and Cardinal Justin Regali, who retired from Philadelphia and now resides in Knoxville, who, as an active cardinal under the age of 80, Cardinal Regali was eligible to vote in the conclave that recently elected Pope Francis in Rome. So now, when you get to Rome and you get settled in, you had a few days before it began, a few days to talk to the other cardinals. What was it like speaking to the man who you didn't know was going to become pope? What was your history with Cardinal Bergoglio before he became pope?
Well, I had met Cardinal Bergoglio a number of times in the past. It's not that we were real close, but Cardinal Bergoglio had been, when I was the Archbishop of St. Louis, on one occasion, we spoke about a saint who is buried in St. Louis, St. Rose Philippine Duchenne. And he happened to mention out of the blue that he had a great admiration for this saint.
She was a missionary who traveled from Europe to the Americas and then focused mainly on that Middle America part, in the Missouri area.
Exactly, and also in Kansas. But she served the Indian people, and the Indians had a name for her in their language, which meant the woman who prays always.
So she was
a contemplative, she was a woman of prayer, but she was also a woman of great service to the Indian people. That was her dream, to be able to serve the Indian people. Well, anyway, Cardinal Bergoglio found this very attractive, and he told me years ago, he says, every day he prays to this saint.
So you were an archbishop, and he was also probably an archbishop at that time?
Yes,
okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. And then going through some of the pictures in the conclave, before we went into the conclave, the morning, the actual morning itself, which was the morning of March 13th, we had a big mass in St. Peter's Basilica. And at that mass, as the photographs show, I was sitting next to Cardinal Bergoglio.
So, that's fantastic.
Yes. So that was the immediate preparation for going into the conclave.
When I attended Bishop Sticca's, call it your anniversary mass, but also it was to celebrate the installation of Pope Francis held on March 19th, in your homily, Bishop Sticca, you told a story about Cardinal Regali, and I'm going to lead you into that same story, obviously, but you then had a little bit of a conversation over the phone with Cardinal Regali while he was still in Rome.
Yeah, I brought up the fact that years ago he told me that he met a cardinal from Argentina who had a devotion to St. Rose Philippine Duchenne. Being a native of St. Louis, and you know, she's as popular as Stan Musial. Stan Musial is probably not as popular as the saint. But
yes.
So I brought it up to the cardinal after the pope was elected, and I said, now, wasn't it that same cardinal? And he said, yes. And then I'll hand the story over to the cardinal, the rest of it.
Yes, and then I spoke to the cardinal. We were at breakfast one morning.
Sitting next to him, the cardinal.
I was actually sitting next to
him. He was still cardinal at this point, or he was already pope?
He was pope.
Oh, and you're sitting next to the pope at breakfast.
Yes.
Oh, that's amazing.
He was elected on March 13th, and then he came back that night for a late dinner with all the cardinal electors.
That's true. He doesn't seem to follow the same pomp and circumstances as some of the other popes through history. He seems to want to just keep it nice and simple.
Well, he's a very simple person. He does things his way.
Yes.
Not that his immediate predecessors were that pompous. But he was very simple. So then I think for the first 16 meals after becoming pope, I was with him for 14 of those.
Was it the early bird special?
No. We were all in the dining room. The cardinals that were still left there, mm-hmm. most of them had left.
Oh, okay.
To go to other places. But anyway, I was there. And on the 15th of March, which was the second day after his election, I brought up about Bishop Sticca's request. I mentioned to him how, we had spoken before about St. Rose Philippine Duchenne. And then Bishop Sticca had asked me to ask him for a blessing mm-hmm. for the Diocese of Knoxville.
Not knowing that I would get one.
Well, sure. You got to aim high, right, Bishop
right,
Sticca?
Correct.
So anyway, we were at breakfast, and the Pope said, by all means, he says, but it would be a good idea to get this in writing. And then he says, I'll sign it.
So you were just looking for even a verbal blessing.
I was just looking. It was kind of in a bit of humor. Like, if you happen to talk to the Pope, send a blessing our way.
Oh, okay.
And he talked to the Pope, and he got the blessing.
In writing.
Which is unusual.
But it was the Pope's suggestion that we would put it in writing. And then, so that very morning, I got it. put in writing. And then at lunch, I was back again with him, this time not at his table. And then right after lunch, I said to him, "Holy Father, I have the blessing." So he invited me up to his room. He says, "Come up and I'll sign it."
Oh, that's fantastic.
So he did. And now Bishop Stucka has that. And it was just a few days ago at the Chrism Mass that took place on Tuesday, last Tuesday, that Bishop Stucka read this text to the people in the cathedral.
Didn't the Pope tell you to do it quickly before life gets too formal for him?
Actually, he did. He says before
thinking on his feet.
Yes.
Before there are any formalities, because obviously he can't sign.
His life is going to get very complicated.
Yeah.
He obviously can't sign everything that comes along. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's a great signature. It's just Francis.
And very, very small.
Very small.
Very small.
And probably, it's probably some handwriting expert will tell you that's how he sees himself, as humbly.
It could be.
Wow, that is fantastic. We're talking with Cardinal Justin Regali and Bishop Richard Stucka, who both reside here in the Diocese of Knoxville. Cardinal Regali just was a member of the conclave that elected Pope Francis. I know you can't speak about what happens in the secrecy of the conclave, but there are certain things you are allowed to tell because it's sort of logical, common knowledge, procedure stuff. But we're still interested in hearing about it, what you must have been feeling at the time that this is your second conclave. You also participated in the conclave that elected Pope Benedict XVI.
That's correct.
What's it like? As much as you can tell.
Yes. No, impressions you have. Well, first of all, you know, they talk about the cardinals being isolated or sequestered in the Sistine Chapel. And it's true that only the cardinals are in there, because at the very beginning, after the formalities take place, everyone else is invited out. And yet the cardinals have this extraordinary impression that even though they're the only ones in there, it seems as though there are millions of people with us.
Yeah.
Because, and not only Catholic people, but people from all over the world of goodwill who have told us, "We're praying for you, for the success of your mission." So it's anything but a lonely feeling. We feel that this is something that the cardinals happen to be the instruments in voting, but that the input is from so many people throughout the world that are praying, asking God's help. So we really do rely on God's help.
I heard you say on the news the other night, I saw you interviewed, and you showed the papal blessing on the news about a week ago, that although generally in tradition is for a cardinal to become elected pope, it's really any single Catholic man who could be elected. You know, you have the whole sphere to choose from.
Yes, I don't think it's happened for an awful long time. But,
right, it sounds like something out of a Dan Brown novel if it was.
St. Peter was Jewish. He got elected.
That's right. Now let's talk about that. When they use the phrase, is it? I don't even know how to pronounce it. Petrine ministry, meaning going back to St. Peter. Right?
St. Peter, yes, the Petrine ministry. They talk about it being the ministry of Peter, and that's why the Pope, as the Bishop of Rome, is the successor of St. Peter, and as Bishop of Rome, he is also the pastor of the Universal Church, but there's always a very special bond with the Jewish community. It was just a couple of days ago. It was that once again, the Pope sent greetings to the chief rabbi of Rome.
Oh, for Passover on Monday?
I think it was one of his very first acts was to greet him right after his election.
It was. But even after that, he sent him another greeting for Passover. And I believe the rabbi mentioned that he was intending to send the Pope a greeting for Easter.
It does seem that Pope Francis has reached out to a few other denominations, I guess maybe is the right term, and there's other Catholic groups of that are not Roman Catholic that were invited, for example. It made news when one of these other patriarchs attended Pope Francis's inauguration.
First time in 1,000 years.
That's news. Defines news right
there. Every 1,000 years they attend.
Well, actually, on other occasions, there have been the representatives have been there for years now. Mm-hmm. But
The patriarch.
Is the patriarch I'm thinking of? What is the denomination that he?
The Orthodox patriarch, the patriarch of Constantinople.
The Greek Orthodox.
Okay. The Greek Orthodox, who is the
ecumenical patriarch is his title,
and he's considered the first among equals in the patriarchs of the East. So he took a special effort in order to be present personally.
Mm. This says a lot then about Pope Francis wanting to reunite wanting to reach out to people all across the globe, Catholic and non-Catholic.
That's correct. I mean, this has been going on. Even Patriarch Bartholomew, who came personally for the first time to the installation of a pope, he nevertheless had visited before.
Every feast of Peter and Paul, for the most part, huh?
Well, no, he didn't come for that. He would send a representative.
Okay. We're talking with Cardinal Justin Regali and Bishop Richard Sticca, who about the conclave that recently occurred in Rome to elect Pope Francis. You were there when the 77th vote was counted. You know, that was a big deal, and there's still more votes to go, but that was when he'd clinched the election, right?
That's correct. And even the Pope himself mentioned how at the 77th vote, which was the number required for him to be elected, there was an applause, but then the voting had to go on,
mm-hmm.
and the count had to go on, and then afterwards it was announced the final number of votes that he had.
Oh, that's tremendous. Yeah. Tremendous. Now, as a resident of the Diocese of Knoxville now, in your retirement, and as a friend and equal to the other cardinals around the country, one thing that I find fascinating is that Bishop Sticca and Cardinal Regali have invited one of the higher-profile cardinals, which is Cardinal Dolan of New York and formerly of St. Louis, to visit Knoxville in a little less than 6 months, about 5.5 months from now, for a big event called the Eucharistic Congress. Bishop Sticca, can you tell us what that is and what it means to Christians, not just Catholics, but Christians in East Tennessee?
Well, I guess it was last year we began making preparations for the beginning of our 25th anniversary as a diocese. And one of the members of the committee said, why don't we do a Eucharistic Congress? What a Eucharistic Congress is that it's a series of events in a given day that center in on what we are as a church, when we center in around the Eucharist, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So we're inviting people in the diocese and in the region, and actually we're going to advertise it on a somewhat national level because the speakers that we have coming in, Cardinal Dolan, Father Barron, Scott Hahn and such.
I may have to have you go through those one at a time, because although all of us in this room know who you mean.
Yeah, they all have a very national reputation, especially Cardinal Dolan was voted by Time Magazine as one of the 100th most influential people in the world.
Because the Archbishop, Cardinal Archbishop of New York, really is probably the in terms of American politics, he has a unique opportunity each year or each election cycle to speak to the president and his opponent in the election at the Al Smith dinner every year. And this past year, Cardinal Dolan gave an amazing speech at the Al Smith dinner addressed to President Obama and to Governor Mitt Romney.
Correct. But getting back to the Eucharistic Congress, we're going to use it as a way to celebrate our existence as a diocese, but also we're going to use it to evangelize people who wish to come from near and far. So it's going to be a grand celebration for our diocese and for the church.
I hear the word evangelize a lot when we refer to Pope Francis and we refer to the conclave and all of the events of the past couple of years. Speak about the word evangelize for a moment, Cardinal Regali.
Sure. Evangelize is synonymous with the gospel. So to evangelize simply means to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And what better day to do it than Easter Sunday, right?
Oh, absolutely. Because to proclaim Jesus Christ is to proclaim Jesus Christ in all the different events of his life, in his birth, in his public life, in his passion, his death, and the culmination of all of this on Easter, which is his resurrection from the dead. So this is the role of the Pope, the principal role of the Pope, which is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the whole world and to offer it to anyone who willingly wishes to accept it. So in the conclave, there was a special emphasis on the fact that the new Pope, this will be obviously, there's no problem whatsoever, this is obviously his first duty, as it is the duty of the Church, to offer the gospel, proclaim the gospel. And Pope Francis has been doing this very faithfully. Just a couple of days ago, in his first audience on last Wednesday, he talked about, he says, we're on a journey with Jesus. And Jesus, in his journey, he made sure that he stopped to talk to everybody. And he tried to bring to everybody a message of encouragement, a message of hope, a message of love. He tried to show concern and healing for everyone. So this is part of his program of evangelization, to reach out as much as he can for as long as,
yes.
as long as he can.
And there's a great quote from St. Francis of Assisi about proclaiming the gospel.
One of my favorite quotes.
Go ahead.
Well, to paraphrase St. Francis, he said, preach the gospel always, and at times you can even use words. And I think that's what evangelization is about. Just a few days ago, we focused on the cross, the crucifix, you know, on Good Friday. Today we celebrate the resurrection. In a number of days, we'll celebrate the ascension when Jesus said, go forth and teach all nations. And so I think by that invitation that comes to us through the scriptures, it's just a reminder, not only do we use words, but as Christians, as Catholics, we teach the faith by how we choose to live our life and treat others. And I think that's part of that journey, that along the way, there are no foreigners, that all of us are children of God.
I was also impressed when you talked about evangelization and about reaching out throughout the world. Father Robert Barron, who is coming to Knoxville for this Eucharistic Congress in September, has used television and the internet very effectively to spread the word. Tell us a little bit about Father Barron, Bishop Stickle.
Well, he's got the famous series called Catholicism. It's a DVD and CDs you can buy. He's on the radio. He's the rector of the president of the seminary in Chicago, Cardinal Mundelein. And he's kind of, in some ways, a successor of Fulton Sheen in terms of his dynamic presentations. I mean, his material's being used all over the country. We were very lucky to have him come to Knoxville, as well as Cardinal Dolan and the others. So,
Dr. Scott Hahn.
Dr. Scott Hahn's another.
What's his background?
Well, he's a convert to the faith and known for his scripture study, as well as he's published so many books and articles and has done audio and DVD tapes. Mm-hmm. And he presents the scriptures, the Bible, the Gospels in a very succinct and clear way.
Whenever he speaks of the Bible, it's with this tremendous enthusiasm and this great love, because he knows the Bible so thoroughly.
It's Dr. Scott Hahn.
Dr. Scott Hahn, yes. So it's really something to be in his presence, because he exudes enthusiasm for the Word of God, and that's something very, very important for the Catholic Church, as it is for other Christian denominations.
And in addition to that, you have elements for the Eucharistic Congress for youth. I mean, there's music, there's entertainment value.
Friday night we're going to have a concert for the youth, and also a session with the Cardinal and I. We're going to have a kind of a conversation that everybody's invited to listen into and ask questions. Saturday all day is a series of talks. The completion of that will be the celebration of the Eucharist. And
September 13th and 14th.
September 13th and 14th. It's going to be a very special time for this diocese, but I also think it's going to be a real gift from our diocese to the church in the United States. That's where we're inviting people from all over to come.
I know. I'm hoping that some of my family members from other reaches will make it, because I booked the hotel room already at the Wilderness of the Smokies at some special deal you got us.
Or maybe, yeah, very
not
good.
Just us, but anybody who books early.
All you have to do is go to dialknox.org, and you'll get all kinds of information. dialknox.org.
It's also very easily Googleable if you don't have a pen and paper right at the moment. And Cardinal Regala, you'll be there too. Can I expect you'll be riding the water slides? Or?
I'm not sure about that, but
I got him a red shirt.
I'll definitely be there, and very happy that Cardinal Dolan's going to be there, because he brings his contribution of great vivaciousness and enthusiasm too.
I heard him in many interviews, obviously, because he's right there where many of the network news programs are based in New York City. They go to him first because they can get him to show up at the Today Show, for example, when Pope Benedict resigned, which was unusual, and maybe I'll ask you about that in the minutes that we have left. But he also, it seems like the secular media, I don't realize we're talking on secular media, but I'll distance myself from them for a moment as a Catholic myself. The secular media always wants to say, well, how is this new pope going to change the church? And Cardinal Dolan's response is, well, it wasn't his job to change the church. It's the church's job to change the world. And I thought that was a very telling and beautiful statement. And maybe you could tell me your reaction to that attitude that he has, or that concept also of the media wanting to say, well, things have to change in the church because we're on the outside and we know what's best.
Well, people have asked me about the changes that Pope Francis is putting in. And I said, well, first of all, we have to realize that there's continuity. The message that he preaches and that he's going to proclaim forever is the message of the gospel. And that's where there is perfect continuity between his predecessors and himself. But everybody does it in his own style. And Pope Francis has this very warm, human, engaging, simple style that seems to be appealing to the world in a very wonderful way. But what he's trying to do is to reach out with the Word of God. But the Word of God, the gospel, also has an invitation. And the invitation is to turn to God, to be converted, to turn from sin. And so Pope Francis can't convert the world. It's a question that Jesus makes the offer. Jesus gives the help, and it's up to people to respond. So Christianity is really a response to this beautiful expression of God's love for his people.
A couple of years back, there's a magazine called Crisis Magazine, and it has rated Knoxville's diocese, Catholic diocese, very highly as the most vibrant in the nation.
It was number one.
Yes. It was number two a couple of cycles ago, and then number one in the most recent version of the survey. And it was then, Bishop Sticca, you come in now to lead the number one most vibrant diocese in the United States. What is ahead, obviously the Eucharistic Congress, but what else is ahead for the diocese? How does it continue to grow and remain vibrant?
Well, you know, our diocese is growing. 25 years ago, we were 22,000 people and just a small amount of priests. Now we're just about 65,000. In the last year, I've opened four new missions, so there will be new parishes. So we'll be up to 51.
And a mission is a Catholic community before?
The development of a community, ultimately, which will lead to being a parish. And I think these four communities will do that very quickly, probably in the next couple of years. We have 19 men studying for the priesthood. I think we might have six coming into the into the seminary system next year. I'll be privileged to ordain seven new priests this year and next year total. Mm-hmm. And so the church is very much alive in our parishes. We have scripture study and just all kinds of good things happening.
Well, I know as a member of All Saints Parish, which is the largest one in this immediate Knoxville area, the Easter Vigil Mass, like we had last night, is always the longest one because they have so many people. It's just like, you seem like when they process in the people converting to Catholicism, it's a very long procession with scores of people every year joining from other denominations.
On Holy Saturday night, last night, we had 313 plus people come into the church through the RCIA process. And so last night was it was a grand celebration. And I'm looking forward to, in a few weeks, I gather together with all of them at the cathedral to officially welcome them into the church.
Mm. Well, we're talking with Bishop Richard Sticca and Cardinal Justin Regali in our closing minutes. We have about 2 minutes left in the program. Any other thoughts you have on Easter and just the Christianity in general? Because I'll tell you one little quick thing that just strikes me as odd when I'm talking to non-Catholics. So many of them don't fully grasp that Catholics are Christians. They seem to feel like there's some difference, and they're surprised when you tell them. you guys are from a more heavily Catholic area than as am I. So when you come here to Knoxville, it's something that's just a little weird sometimes.
Yeah, the focus of our church is the Eucharist, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Almost every component of the Mass is based on Scripture. You know, the greetings from St. Paul are greetings from Jesus. The Eucharistic prayers, they're all based on Scripture. You know, the Bible is that which nourishes us. You know, the cross is that which reminds us of our redemption. We celebrate Easter today. Those are very much Catholic Christian ideas.
And, the summit of it all is the great victory, Jesus' victory over death and sin, which is the resurrection. Pope Francis has been emphasizing hope so much in his pontificate now, but the basis of hope, the only reason we have hope, is that Jesus has risen from the dead. And this is the reason for us to be hopeful. This is the reason for us to rejoice, to be confident. And this is the reason for us to go out into the world and spread with joy the message of Christ. So the Catholic Church can't be anything except Christian, except emphasizing Jesus, who is crucified, but who is risen from the dead. So the future of the world depends on the resurrection. And St. Paul says so clearly in his account that if Christ is not risen, our faith is in vain.
That's true.
And that's where we are. But we know that Christ is risen, and therefore we're filled with hope.
Wow. What a beautiful way to end our interview with Cardinal Justin Regali and Bishop Richard Sticca. We appreciate very much your coming in and being with us and sharing this Easter message Thank you.
Happy Easter.
Thank you.
Thank you. Happy Easter. This is the East Tennessee Report, a public affairs program of the Journal Broadcast Group. My name is Frank Murphy. We'll talk to you again next Sunday.